she just knows when one is around. Yeah, Judar. There you go, Judar. It's the Judar radar. And there was a situation up here several years ago. Most of you remember Carla Forbert and her husband. I can't remember his name now, Mr. Forbert. But Amy, he was a Jewish man, and we went up there one Sunday after church, been several years ago, to have lunch when they have serving lunch up there. And Amy got to witness to him and talk to him about the Lord. And it was about a year later that he passed away. And so I believe with all of my heart that God made that happen that at that time for Amy to minister to him and tell him about that Jesus is his Messiah. And so I've just seen her, I'm on her board. It's a blessing to be on her board because she has a heart for the Jewish people and to do things right and to minister to them, but also to equip the church to understand what Jewish ministry is all about. So this is, she's smart, remember, and she's a doctor, Dr. Amy Downey. So I want you to give Dr. Amy Downey a big hand clap this morning as she brings the message this morning. Thanks, Amy.
You know what a PhD stands for? It means piled high in debt. And the one thing that some of y'all, I don't know if y'all are, that President Biden has done is he's forestalled any student loan repayment. That's the only thing I'm grateful for, but don't say that. Just so you'll know, I have these cards if you want to pray for the Jewish people. And I brought these. I usually have a table back here, but I didn't bring anything to have the table today. But I brought these cards. If you want to have these cards, they're up here on the front by Mark. And just so you can think about it today, every hour, 16 Jewish people die without the Lord. Every day, 388 Jewish people die without the Lord. Every week, 2,718 Jewish people die without the Lord. Every month, 11,649 Jewish people die without the Lord. And every year, 141,741 Jewish people die without the Lord. And that's why I do what I do. Because there is a likelihood that between 97 and 99% of all Jewish people in the world are lost and dying and going to hell. And you're like, wait a minute, Jesus is Jewish. How is that possible? And that is because when we got the gospel as non-Jewish people, as the Gentiles, we forgot to give the gospel back to the Jewish people. And that is why I do what I do, is because Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is to the Jew first, and Romans 11:11 says that it is our job as non-Jewish people is to make the Jewish people jealous for Jesus, and we want to forget that verse. But that verse is real and as true today as it was when Paul wrote Romans 11:11. And that is why when we went to that restaurant in Leedy, and I know it doesn't exist anymore, but when he found out that I can speak Yiddish and I can speak a little Hebrew, and he was so excited that there was a Yiddish Hebrew speaker in Leedy, Oklahoma. And I know everybody that day thought I was speaking in tongues and what happened to the Baptist preacher's daughter. And it was just because I was speaking Yiddish and Hebrew. He was excited to talk to someone and he heard the gospel. And that's how he came to faith before he died. You know, that I was making him jealous for Jesus. And that's how he came to faith. And that is our job as non-Jewish people, to make the Jewish people jealous for Jesus. And that's not what I'm talking about today, but I'm talking about something that is just as relevant. And that is about being true disciples and true followers of making of Messiah Jesus, because if we are, then we can make the Jewish people jealous for Jesus every day of our lives. Because if they see what is real and relevant in our life, they will want what we have. But if they don't, then what's different about us than what they already have? And by the way, Patricia just walked back in here, and I told her if I see her sleeping, I'm going to go, Patricia, because she's been at youth camp all week. So I know she's tired. So I'm watching you, Patricia. So because what I'm going to talk about today is about being true disciples, true followers of Jesus, because you know what? I went to high school in this town, and I know that Leedy talks about being, you know, we're a Christian town, but I grew up in this town, and I know what it's really like. So let's talk about it. So if you have your Bible, because, you know, I've gotten a little savvy. I have my Bible here. It just looks a little different. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we're gonna actually leak into Philippians 4. That's allowed, just for one verse, because you know, when I was here the last time, my mom was very ill, and she passed away a few weeks after I was here the last year, and y'all prayed for her. You prayed for healing, and you know what? She was healed, because she got the ultimate healing. And if you remember, if you grew up in the 80s, you grew up in the late 80s, you grew up in the early 90s, there was an old Wayne Watson song, and I forgot my water. Can I get it? There was an old Wayne Watson song that was called Home Free. And you know what? My mom is home free. And the last Sunday was the one-year anniversary of her passing. And I did cry. I'm not going to lie. I cried on the one-year anniversary of her passing. And Thursday was the anniversary of her funeral. And I got to put the microphone down just for a second. Was the anniversary of her funeral, of her celebration of life service. Because it's not a funeral. But because she's home free now. And she was the ultimate true disciple. She wasn't a perfect person, and I'm going to talk about that. But she was a true disciple. She was a true follower of Jesus, but she wasn't perfect. Trust me, I lived with her the last 10 years of her life. But she was an amazing person. But we don't have to be perfect. So I'm going to read this passage. And then we're going to talk about what it means to be a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus. And I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible, but it doesn't matter what Bible version you have. Because it says, Paul, this is Paul, and remember, Paul is in prison. And he's in prison, and he's writing to the church at Philippi. So it says, join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Now that's an interesting phrase. We'll talk about that. Their glory is in their shame, and they are focused on earthly shame. On earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we wait eagerly for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body, by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. Chapter 4, verse 1. So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and my crown, in this manner stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And let me make sure I turn this on. So let's talk about, there we go. Oh, went too far. I'm just going the wrong way too far. Carrie's going to fix me. Because you're wondering why I have a picture of Dak Prescott. So let's just go back to the very first. Carrie's going to fix me because I went way too back. There we go. What does it mean to follow the example in verse 17? To follow the example or join in imitating me. What does it mean when Paul says to follow the example, in, or as in the version I read, to join in imitating me? What does it mean? And let me try to go one slide at a time. What does it mean? It says, and if you notice, it says, pay careful attention, or to observe. Because the New American Standard says to observe, or the version I read, join in imitating me. And by the way, in the Greek, that's a command. Because Paul is saying, observe or imitate me. And Paul is saying, don't just do that as a suggestion. It is a command. It's not a recommendation. It's a command. Because Paul is saying, those who walk in this pattern, because Paul is in prison because he followed the example of Christ. He followed the example of the other disciples. Because remember, by this time, James, one of the first disciples of Jesus, had already had his head chopped off. And Stephen, because Paul was there, remember, had already been stoned to death. They had observed, they had imitated the example of Christ. And Paul had observed, had imitated the example of Jesus. And Paul was imitating the example. He had observed, he had imitated, he had followed the example. So he is a disciple. It is a command. So are you imitating, are you following the example of Paul? Are you following, are you imitating the example of Jesus, of Paul, of those who have gone before us? I don't know if you've ever, I don't know if you're one of these guys who, like I am, who wear these wristbands. And one of these wristbands I have is from the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And it says, you know, mine says, one with them. And I don't know if you are paying attention of what's going on with the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Do you know what's going on in Iran right now? What's going on in Iran right now is amazing. Do you know what's going on in Iran right now? There is a revival going on in, of all places, Iran. And it's an underground church, and it's an underground revival. And you know who's leading this underground revival right now? The women. The church is growing in Iran, and is growing because, not because of the men, it's growing because of the women. The women are going, I might have to wear this burqa. I might have to wear this, all this head garb and the hijab and the burqa. But underneath all of this stuff, I am a follower of Christ, and I am going to win Iran for Christ. And we have to follow these women because they are turning Iran upside down for Jesus. And by the way, Acts 17, verse 6, when Paul and Silas have left Thessalonica, and Jason and all of the believers in Jesus are led into the square, and they're getting beat up, and the people are going, why are you beating up Jason and all these guys? You know what the verse in Acts 17:6 is being told? These are the men that are turning the world upside down. That's what it says. And you know why? Because they are following the example of Jesus and James and Paul. Because it is, they're imitating. They're following the example. Are you doing that today in Leedy? If somebody said, Mark Haney, that is a follower of Jesus. Or Mr. Haney, I don't know your first name. Roy, that is a follower of Jesus. Could they say that about you? I hope. So, Matt Haney, I know you, I now know, the photographer guy. That is, he takes good pictures, by the way. Is that what they can say about the members of Harvest Fellowship Church? Is that what they can say? Because it is a command, not a recommendation. Those who walk the pattern, who are constantly living the life. Now, Mark, they say a lot of good things about me when I went to school here. And yes, I tried to live the life on the outside, but I didn't always live the life on the inside. I was the good preacher's kid because I didn't drink and party. I discovered what Everclear was when I lived here. I didn't know when Everclear was before I lived here. But I didn't. I discovered it the first day in school in Mr. Holcomb's biology class because somebody walked in drunk. But I lived it on the outside. I didn't live it on the inside because I didn't want to move to Leedy. I'll be honest. I moved here from Dallas, Texas. Who wants to move to Leedy from Dallas, Texas? But you have to live it both on the outside and on the inside. Those who walk the pattern and are constantly living the life on the inside and on the outside. Because the women in Iran, the women in China, the people in North Korea, they are living the life. Is that what they can say about you? That you are living the life. You are following the example. Not just in church, but even on Saturday night. And here's my example. Now, don't make fun of Dak Prescott. He was my mama's favorite cowboy. Even if you don't like the Cowboys, don't make fun of Dak Prescott. But here's my example. Now, we have up here Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M, Heisman Trophy winner, first-round draft choice, right? Remember when he was drafted, he came out there, he did his little money, money sign. 2014, he had everything going for him. Do you remember? Where is he today? He can't even make the team of an arena football league, right? Do you remember? Now, Dak Prescott played for Mississippi State. Fourth round draft choice. Right? Do you remember when he broke his ankle last year? Do you remember what happened? Every player on the Dallas Cowboys came up and were crying when he broke his leg. Because they would run through a wall for him. Do you know why? Because he is the leader of his football team. He is the leader of his football team. And there's a reason for that. And I'm going to show you the reason why on this video.
Dak Prescott, look at his workout. This is what he does. He does not have to step into throws. He does everything off of opening that right hip and then whipping that left hip. That's where he gets it.
That's the video. He does that all the time. He is always prepared. He does that every day. Johnny Manziel had everything going for him, right? He had everything going for him. Heisman Trophy winner, Texas A&M star, everything going for him, but he didn't put in the work. Mark, you still coach your baseball team? Who's the best player? The guy who can hit the home run or the guy who puts in the work? Does anybody care about Johnny Manziel anymore? Dak Prescott is now the second highest paid player in football. Because Dak Prescott puts in the work, follows the pattern, does everything right. Because he follows the pattern. He imitates, and everybody on the Dallas Cowboys will go through a wall for Dak Prescott. Now, you don't have to like the Cowboys. You'll be wrong if you don't. Just saying. By the way, guess my favorite football team. And if you don't like the Cowboys, I'll pray for you. But Dak Prescott, nobody cared about Dak Prescott when he was drafted. But he does everything right. He imitates. He follows the example. And now he's got it all going for him. That's my example. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do as Christians. Follow the example. And it's not a suggestion, it's a command. We have to imitate. We have to do what is right regardless. Not just on Sundays, but 24/7. Or we're not going to change the world. Now, let's go on. And we have to not be distracted by the world. When Mark and I went to high school, we were the first, and I think I've used this example before. We were the first class that got to do our senior English paper. And by the way, not gonna say, but I was the only one who actually did my senior English paper. Those two didn't, but that's a whole other story. They can tell you why later. But sorry, Mark. But we were the ones who actually got to do our senior English paper on a computer, and it was those big computers with the 5 1/4 floppies. You guys don't even know what a 5 1/4 floppy are. And we had to stick it in and take it out. And it was a whole, you know, because the computers didn't even have a brain. And now I brought my whole PowerPoint on my thumb drive that can hold more than all of the computers combined could hold. But anyway, but the distractions we have today are so numerous. You know, we have Snapchat and TikTok and all the things that can distract us. But we cannot be distracted by the world if we're going to change the world and be true disciples and followers of the world. And so what are some of the things that can distract us from the world? And it says in verse 18 that Paul just talks about many walk as enemies of the cross, even while weeping, as they tell us. And by the way, I think those weepers are crying those crocodile tears because they're not really sad about it. And they'll come up to us and they'll cry, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry I can't come to church today, but I just got to go to the lake with Grandpa." They're not sorry they got to go to the lake with Grandpa. They're happy they got to go to the lake with Grandpa. Because they're not sad about it. They'd rather go anywhere than be a disciple for the Lord. Isn't that true? Because it's a lot more fun to be distracted. It's a lot more fun. Mama used to say that anything is more fun. And she would talk about, there's that verse in Hebrews that even Moses could have had more fun being Pharaoh's son. But he chose to be with the slings and arrows. And it's in Hebrews. It talks about I'm going to go to the next slide. I think it's on the next slide. But to suffer with his own kind, of the Hebrews, of being a slave. And it talks about that. But Moses chose to be with the Hebrews than to enjoy his opportunity to be with Pharaoh's son in Hebrews. And I forgot to put that on there. That's why I'm struggling to say it. But what is the end it talks about in Philippians 3:19? Because their end is destruction. Because it might be more fun to enjoy the distractions of the world, but it talks about that their end is destruction. And it talks about their God is their appetite, is their belly. But it only gives momentary satisfaction. Because you can only get drunk for so long. You can only take drugs for so long. You can only enjoy sex for so long. You can only enjoy the sins of the world for so long. And we've all seen our friends, especially the older we get, we've all seen our friends go down the road of destruction for so long. And it only provides momentary satisfaction for so long. Because sin is fun for a while. Because let's be honest, sin is fun for a while. But that doesn't last for very long. Because as we were growing up in high school, there's this little four-letter word came and bit a lot of our friends on the backside. It was called AIDS. I've had friends who've died of AIDS. I've had friends who have died of drug addiction. I've had friends who have died of all sorts of horrible diseases. But they thought they were having fun. And they grew up in church. And they grew up in Leedy. And they thought they could go off to college and never find, and people back here thought that they thought they'd never find out about what they did in college. And it caught up with them. Because sin is fun for a while. Because earthly glory will only bring you long-term shame. Because money doesn't buy happiness. It really doesn't. When I was called to missions, I actually said, God, I'm tired of being poor. Could I just tithe and not have to be poor all my life? But money doesn't buy you happiness. Because ultimately what Paul was saying in verse 19 is the end will bring you destruction and your momentary satisfaction of sin will not bring you anything but long-term shame. And that mindset will ultimately bring you a habit that will destroy you. And we've all seen that if we've lived long enough. And some of you that are younger here, you know, you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is just an old woman that wants to destroy my fun. No, I want to destroy your long-term destruction. Because we've all been there. Because I used to teach college. And I had one of my college young ladies who had all of the talent in the world. And I'm trying to make sure I don't say too much in case she accidentally watches this and feels like I'm betraying a confidence. But she she was abused as a child, and she decided she no longer trusted men. And so she started and her mother was not really a mother to her. So she no longer trusted men, and her mother was horrible. So she wanted a mother figure, and she didn't trust men. And I think you probably know where I'm going with this illustration. So she started having a friendship with a woman that was more of, I don't know how else to say this, was on the masculine side. And this friendship got to be too close of a friendship. And it started to be too close. And then it got to be romantic. And then before she knew it, she started sleeping with this woman. And I confronted her and I asked her, I said, "Are you a lesbian?" And she goes, "No, I'm not a lesbian. I don't want to put a label on what I am." And I said, "Before you know it, you're going to develop a habit." And she goes, no, I'm not. It's just, it's comforting to me. And it brings me some satisfaction that I've never had in my life. And she feels a need that I didn't know that I needed. Do you see I'm using all of these to give you an illustration? And I'm still a Christian. And by the way, I do believe that she's still a Christian, because I don't believe you can lose your salvation. But she feels a need that I didn't know I had, because she's kind of a mom to me, which is a whole other issue. And I didn't know that I needed this in my life. And I warned her, I said, "You're creating for yourself a habit you're not going to be able to break." And I said, "Let me get you some counseling." "Well, no, it's, but I'm not a lesbian, Miss Downey." And then before you know it, she moved in with her. And before you knew it, she invited me to her, I'm not going to call it a wedding. And she asked me to come to her unification ceremony, and I refused to go. And she goes, "Miss Downey, I really want you to come." I said, "I'm not going to go, because I'm not going to recognize this unification ceremony." And she goes, "Miss Downey, I love you. You're like a mom to me," because her own mother was horrible. I said, "I'm not going to go." And she has been unified, because, you know, only God creates marriage. And only God recognizes marriage as between a man and a woman. And she goes, "You won't come?" I said, "No." She goes, and I told her, I said, "I love you, and I will always be there for you. And when this falls apart on you, like everything else in your life has fallen apart on you, I will be there for you. Because the end of this relationship will be destruction, and this is bringing you momentary satisfaction, and this will bring you long-term shame, because you have to get a divorce when this falls apart on you, because you have created a habit. Because you have allowed yourself to be distracted by the world. But I will be there for you when this falls apart." Now, this woman has a beautiful voice that could be used by God and has been used by God in the past. But she was distracted by the world. Because of sin. And she came to me crying more than once, but I knew they were crocodile tears. And I'm waiting for her to come back to me. But we have to be true followers and disciples of Christ. or we have lost our witness to the world. So, why does it matter? Because we have to make a difference to the world. The world today is lost and dying. Not just the Jewish people, but Leedy, Oklahoma, is lost and dying, and you have to make the difference. You know it better than anybody how lost and dying Leedy, Oklahoma is. When Mama and Daddy lived here, they knew how lost and dying Leedy, Oklahoma was. You know how lost and dying Leedy and Elk City and Woodward and Hammond and Camargo are. I know how lost and dying Waxahachie is. There are, where I live, there are 100 churches in Waxahachie and Ellis County, Oklahoma, Texas are. That's how many churches there are. And I know how lost and dying Ellis County, Texas is. Because, and they think they are so spiritual. And they are lost and dying. Because there are a lot of churches, but very little spirituality and disciples. Because we have a lot of churches, but we haven't discipled. We haven't made disciples of the people in there. And that's what we must do. And that's why it matters. Because the world has seen us, but they don't see Jesus in us. And that's why it matters. Because we are citizens, not we are Americans second. We are first Christians, which means we are citizens of heaven. Because part of why we are here, you know, my dad used to say, if we are not here to make a difference in this world, the moment we become Christians, we should just shoot up straight to heaven. But we are here to make a difference in this world. We are here to change the world, not to become a part of the world. And that is part of our transformation. We are here to transform the world. We are to become transformed and then to transform the world before we become glorified in heaven. And verse 4, let me read the first verse of chapter 4, verse 1. So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and my crown, in this manner stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Stand firm. Be beyond reproach. When they see you, this is my prayer before I ever get up here. When they see you, let them see Jesus. When they see you, let them see Jesus. Be beyond reproach. Stand firm. Excuse me. I've had a sinus infection for like a month now. Be beyond reproach. I've had a really tough week. I told Carrie when I asked her to pray for me today, I've had a really tough week. I can't go into all the details, but I've had a really tough week because I've had to deal with a church, not this church, a church in Texas, that will not take a stand about a sinful issue. I'll share it with Mark, and Mark has my permission to share it with y'all later. But I've had to take a stand about a church that will not take a stand about a sinful issue. But we have to stand. If we are not different than the world, then we are useless. We have to take a stand. A pastor friend of mine said that we have to be, he was talking to me yesterday because I was talking to him. We have to be warriors for the gospel. We have to stand firm. We have to, when I shared with Mark a few weeks ago that I wanted to share with y'all about this passage, I had no idea what was going to happen from the time I shared with Mark and I said, is this passage okay? And he said, yes. What was going to happen between the time I asked Mark about this passage and what was going to happen between now and today? But we have to be beyond reproach or we are useless. Because we have to stand firm. We have to be on be reproach, or we are useless to the world. We have to be beyond reproach, or we are the world, and we have to be beyond reproach. One of the difficult things about being a woman in ministry is women in ministry are expected to be, you know, are supposed to be, I'm having trouble today if you can't tell. We have to be super women. We have to be women that are, you know, walk around with little halos on our head. And we have to be beyond reproach. And sometimes it's difficult. You know, I have to be a superwoman and never do anything wrong, and I do my best, and I try to live as holy of a life as possible, and trust me, I'm not perfect, but sometimes it gets lonely, and being a single woman in ministry gets really lonely, and since Mama passed away, it gets really really lonely. That's why I have a dog. And I brought my dog with me if you want to see him after church. He's the best dog in the world. And sometimes I cry to Feifel. That's my dog's name. And my dog, he knows when I'm sad. But you know what? I would rather be the loneliest missionary in the world than to ever bring denigration to God's name. Because I would rather die then bring shame to God's name. Because there is nothing more important than to bring the gospel to the world and to bring a person to faith, because that is what God called me to do. Because I was born in this country. I was born in Bloomfield, New Mexico. But I am a citizen of heaven. And nothing is more important to me than to hear the words of Jesus when I die. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we have to stand firm and be beyond reproach. Why? Because it matters not to me, not to this church, because it matters to Jesus. If you see on that sign, I've been looking at that sign, because you are entering a mission field. Because Leedy is a mission field. Hammond is a mission field. Camargo is a mission field. Because there are lost people in Dewey County, Custer County, in Western Oklahoma. And you have to be a disciple and follower of Jesus. I'm going to show you a video of the eulogy I gave at my mama's service. And then when the video's over, It's going to be Mark. And then I'm going to be finished. And the reason I'm showing you this video is not because I want to glorify Mama, not because I want to glorify myself, but I want you to know that all that Mama cared about was sharing Jesus with people. She was an imperfect person, but her focus, her passion in life was that people would know Jesus. Finally, she was passionate about missions and evangelism. Mama believed fervently in John 14:6. She knew how important it is to tell the world about Jesus. She knocked doors, you know, the door-to-door evangelism from the 1970s, and ran a church bus route with Daddy in the worst part of Louisville, Kentucky. And Uncle Larry, I'm going to tell you things that you never knew about your sister until now. She and Daddy used to pick up the children of drug users and the children of drug pushers. She and Daddy used to pick up the children of motorcycle gang children. And she and Daddy used to pick up children of prostitutes. And Kathy, this is the story. I'm not going to tell the whole story, Kathy Romero. But she and Daddy even visited one time in a prostitute's house because she and Daddy cared enough to worry about the prostitute and where she was going. And I bet you 612 Northwest Avenue H never knew that, did they? That's where my grandparents lived. And there were often times that children named Fat Cat and KK would crawl in my mom's lap because they wanted a mama just like our mama. She passed out tracts and was nearly arrested on the streets of North New York City one time. Y'all didn't know that either, did y'all? Because she cared about the souls of everyone that she saw. She prayed loudly at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And I remember this story because I was there. She got to touch the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And she said, "Lord Jesus, save them!" On the Sabbath, surrounded by the ultra-Orthodox. And I was like, "Mama, not quite so loud." She loved picking. One time when Janice and Mom and I were in Ecuador, she got to pick up the indigenous people of the Napo River. And she was so excited because she was going to get to smile at them and hopefully get to share the love of Jesus with indigenous people in Ecuador when Janice was a missionary there. She traveled across 4 countries after the age of 70 because it gave her a chance to continue the work she began with Daddy in her early 30s to share Jesus with the people of the world. She never gave up her heart for evangelism because she knew 3 basic words. They need Jesus. Barbara Ellen Downey was not a saint. She was a sinner saved by grace. She was also passionate about life, her family, her friends, but most importantly, and if you've heard her pray, you know she began most of her prayers with 3 words, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And today, my mama is getting to see her Jesus, 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 face to face.
Amen. Give Amy a big hand clap this morning. And both of them were awesome witnesses to me. Amy doesn't know this, but even back in high school, you were still a witness to me, to Mark and I both. And if you'd have told us 34 years ago that I'd be a pastor, Mark would be leading worship, and Amy would be leading a mission ministry. We would have probably laughed at you. But, guys, I know this was a right-now word for all of us. We need to be living this in front of people. Amen. You're wherever you're at, I'm looking at Mark, and every one of you have circles of influence that I don't have. And it's just living it. It's not trying to shove Jesus down their throats. It's not being, you know, read it, that kind of, you know, but just living it. And it made me, as Amy was preaching this morning and teaching us from this passage, it made me think of somebody. I was just sitting there thinking about people in my life that were disciples that rubbed off on me. And I'll never forget it, but whenever, and some of you have heard this story before, and I have reached out to this guy and found him on Facebook. His name's Derek Gregory. But when I was at college at OU, this guy we lived on the same dorm floor, and he was a cool guy. He was studying to be an engineer. But I saw this guy, and he was persecuted for it too, even, you know, at OU, living the Bible Belt and all this. But he was the one guy on our floor that would lead a Bible study one night a week on our floor. But he was faithful every week, going around knocking on all the guys' doors and inviting them to his room to have a little Bible study. And he wasn't pushy about it. He wasn't religious about it. He wasn't judgmental about it. He was very relational in it, and just a really cool guy. And I'll be honest with you, there was times I'd say, no, I've got to study. I didn't study. You know, I had something else going on. I won't tell you my extracurricular activities back in college. But there were some times that I did go. When I went, he would always share something that was just very meaningful. Didn't, you know, wasn't preachy, wasn't, you know, turn or burn, you know, pointing at me, turn or burn. But just very relational, and really, you could tell he really cared. That he wanted to know that, hey, do you know the Lord and all this. And that guy, and even though I never did really say thank you at that time when we was at college together, later in life, just here a few years ago, I reached out to him on Facebook and told him that I'm a pastor now. And I'm just, his response was, it was funny. He's like, oh my gosh, you're a pastor. I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor now. But I just told him, I said, dude, you rubbed off on me. You know, I said, I still remember you to this day, just how you loved me right where I was at. You didn't judge me, but you were witnessing to me and discipling me, and you didn't even know it. And so I wanted to share that with you, because some of you are witnessing to people that's in your circle of influence, and you're discipling people that you don't even know that you are. And so that's why we've got to live it all the time. Amen? Amen. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and we're going to close like we normally do every Sunday, and I just want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. This is out of Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul told us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer this morning, and even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. But also, we have a basket back here where Carrie's at, back there at the sound booth, and we want to be a blessing to Sadaka Ministries. But you can just, because I know none of you in here know how to spell Sadaka. I don't even know how to spell it either. But if you're making out a check, just make the check out to HFC and put it up there in that basket, and we'll know that it goes to Amy, because we want to be a blessing to her ministry today, okay? Now I'm going to speak this blessing over everyone. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they're the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Be sure and give in to Amy's ministry, and you can, Amy's right over here, so go pick her brain if you have any questions for her. Love you guys. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Amen.